This morning, I didn't tell you this, and I didn't plan it this way, but I had 6 points to make. I only made 2. So I made 2 this morning, and that was the big picture, okay? So now we're going to zero in a little bit more and color in the picture a little bit more about the highest calling. The highest calling. I'll give you a hint. The highest calling involves 2 words that start with the letter F. Without looking at your notes, without anybody looking at their notes. Okay. Follow Jesus and fish for men. So the highest calling. This morning I mentioned a few things. Like, what is our highest calling? To be wealthy? No. To find the cure for cancer? That'd be great, but that's not the highest calling. Because if you find the cure for cancer, people are still going to die from something else, right? Is the highest calling to be the head of your company? No. How about to make the highest grades in school? No. To score the most touchdowns, points, or runs? No. To be famous, so everybody that sees your face says, now there's somebody famous. Let's give them the best table in the restaurant, or let's give them all of the perks because they're famous. Or even to be president of the United States. That's not the highest calling for men. It's to follow Jesus and to fish for men. We looked at Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through the end of the chapter. Now tonight, I'm going to read just verses 18 to 24. That's really where we focused this morning anyway. So we're going to read that again, and then we're going to fill in the gaps a little bit from this morning's message. And I hope that God just encourages our heart in these 2 areas to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Verse 18, it says, Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Wouldn't it have been so cool to be a witness of the ministry of Jesus? Not only to be under his teaching, but even to see all the miracles that he performed. This morning, in the message, the highest calling to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Point number 1 this morning, Jesus called these apostles to follow him. He called these apostles to follow him, and he calls you. He calls me to follow him. He said in that verse, follow me, he said in verse 19. And something very similar he said probably to James and John. Says in verse 21 at the latter part of the verse, and he called them. You know, that call is to the lost, the unsaved, to follow Jesus in salvation. And I encourage you, if you're not sure that you're saved, you're living a life of bondage that you don't have to live. Just nail that thing down. That's what I encourage everybody to do. I'm not talking down to anybody when I say that. I'm just saying, for your own good and for your own blessing, just nail that thing down and say, I know that I'm saved. But you see, he calls the lost or the unsaved to follow him, follow Jesus, that is, in salvation. But he also calls the saved to follow Jesus. I read a verse in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them, all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. I believe it's probably a true statement that many times we get up, we get on our way, and we forget to pick up the cross. It's a daily thing. Pick up the cross. Identify with Jesus. Do what he wants us to do. It's kind of dangerous to forget to pick up the cross. And the cross was a thing that was despised. I mean, it was not something warm and fuzzy. I mean, the cross, identifying with Jesus, the world doesn't like that, folks. But we need to pick up that cross every day. I mean, really, just kind of like when we're getting dressed, we ought to be thinking in our mind, you know what, I need to take up my cross. I need to identify with Jesus. I need to follow him. I need to do what he wants me to do. The second point from this morning, not only is Jesus called these apostles to follow him, he calls you. But secondly, Jesus called these apostles to fish for men, and he calls you. He said, apostles, he said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll make you famous. He didn't say, I'll make you rich. Now, if you listen to some preachers today, these health and wealth preachers, and I do use that term very lightly, preachers. Okay, I'll put it in quotes. He didn't tell them he's going to. Actually, the apostles, every one of them but one, according to church history, was martyred for their faith. The only one that wasn't was John, right? He was exiled. I mean, how do you like that? You got to go to an island. So it was not a life of luxury and wealth and health. And if it was the gospel that we preach, a health and wealth type of gospel, I would surely think that the apostles would have experienced it. But we're so smart in 2023 now. We've become more educated and we're much more enlightened by God. So therefore, he wants you all to be healthy and wealthy. And if you're not, it's because you don't have enough faith, because that's what God desires for every one of us. Let me say this. I've said it before. I heard it. It was not original with me. But God is more concerned with your holiness than he is with your happiness. He's more concerned with your holiness than he is your happiness. But he tells these folks not only to follow him, but guess what? I will make you fishers of men. He called them to fish for men. Now, it's not rocket science. It's basically, he's saying, I want you to go out and share the gospel. You're going to be telling people about me. That's what Jesus is basically telling them. You're going to be telling them about me and the whole story whenever I die upon the cross and resurrect back to life. And it's your mission to go out. Just imagine, from these 12 apostles, one of them was a traitor, but of these 11 true apostles, and then Paul was called an apostle also. So we're back to 12 again. And then you got Matthias that was chosen, right? From these men, spread the gospel message. You see, I think they got the point. Follow me. I will. You got to fish for men. I will. I'm going to share the gospel. But you see, he's passed that on to us. The Great Commission. Now, most of us, what's the Great Commission? Oh, I know that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know, we know that, right? But that's not for, that's for a missionary. Yeah, missionary. Now, that's comfortable for us to say that, right? I mean, it's easy for us to say that. That's for a missionary. They're supposed to go all around the world and tell the gospel. God may not call you to go all around the world, but he might. But guess what? You're to be a missionary wherever you are. And you're to be fishers of men, and you're supposed to be sharing the gospel. Mark says in Mark 16:15 this morning, and he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. You see, the highest calling is to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Follow Jesus, fish for men. Tonight, we're going to look, hopefully, at the next 4 points. Point number three, Jesus enabled those apostles to fish for men. Notice, Jesus enabled the apostles here to fish for men. You say, we can read the rest of the story, but just look at what he says. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When we go out and witness to people, can I tell you the power is not in you? The power is not in the preacher. The power is in the Lord himself. And using that Holy Spirit to speak to hearts and lives. All we are, if we fish for men, when we share the gospel, all we are as willing vessels and channels of God's blessing. That's it. But I'm telling you, I'm not real encouraged today that a whole lot of Christians are being fishers of men. Really. I mean, it ought to, and I pray this all the time. Again, I'm not just saying, you know, you just don't have the compassion you need for lost souls. I'm telling you, as you look at me, I don't have the compassion for lost souls that I should. And I should feel more and more for them. My heart should be broken for the lost to the point that I'm going to go out of my way to be a fisher of men, to share the gospel. But let me tell you, it's an encouragement to know that when I go to do that, I'm not on my own. Number one, I've been commissioned by the God of the universe. If anybody says, now you narrow-minded Christians, I don't want to hear what you got to say. You just get up, shake the dust off of your jacket and off of your clothes, and guess what? Move on and say, I really don't care what they tell me. I've been commissioned by the God of the universe to preach the gospel to every creature. And it ought to encourage us to go on. Something else ought to encourage us in this point. God does the enabling. And if you're sitting there tonight saying, you know what, I just don't know. I just don't know enough. I don't think I know enough to share the gospel. If you know Jesus, you know enough to share the gospel. If you know John 3:16 or even know where to find it in your Bible, you know enough to share the gospel. We got gospel tracts back here. I'm praying quite often that God will use those gospel tracts and that I'll have more of a burden to give those gospel tracts out. And that our people and all of us will give them out so much that we'll see somebody sitting in one of these seats or responding to a message saying, I saw this gospel tract. You know, we're going to hopefully give out 3,000 of them at Christmas, at the Christmas parade, that is. And I'm hoping and praying that someone will say, I read this gospel tract and I got saved. Amen. So you don't have to be a genius. I mean, the gospel tracts tell you verse by verse, and you can even show them and read off of that little gospel tract to share the gospel with someone. I say again, you know, God is a God that orchestrates all of life, and He's orchestrated your individual life, and He's orchestrated the lives of people around you who need to hear Jesus preach to them and talk to them. If you don't do it, who's gonna? I think we all need to share the gospel and to fish for men more. Keep it in mind that we're enabled by the Lord Himself. The Holy Spirit, this has not happened a whole lot, but I remember one time in particular, I probably shared with you, one time I was mowing the yard in Chattanooga. And we had some new neighbors on the corner. It was a black family, best I remember. And they'd moved in. And I was mowing, and I'm a sweater, okay? I don't perspire. I sweat. I mean, stinky sweat. You know, body odor. Go shower, guy. And I was mowing, and I just felt really strongly impressed that God said, you go down there and you talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Lord, I'm mowing the yard here. And I felt enough. I mean, it seems as best I remember. Memories fade a little bit, but I think I mowed part of it, and I stopped, and I went down, talked to him, and the Lord had prepared his heart, and he got saved. It wasn't like a debate. It wasn't like, you know, well, you need you. No, don't. It was like, yeah, I do, don't I? And prayed to receive Jesus. You see, the Lord enables us to be fishers of men. I mean, before when I've witnessed to people, I remember in college one night, I was talking to, you know, you had a dorm room here and a dorm room here and a bathroom between us, so we called them suite mates, you know, it's called a suite. And so I had the opportunity, and I remember talking to one of the fellows about the Lord, and the best I remember, I was able to lead him to the Lord at college. And I remember I was saying things, I'm like, ooh, where'd that come from? You know, it seemed like I was, you know, partially quoting verses, and I'm like, well, where'd that come from? I'm telling you, God will enable you, if you have a willing heart, to talk to people about Jesus, to be fishers of men. So don't go, oh, I'm scared to death. I'm on my own. No, you're not. The Lord is with you. He said right there, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, he prepared these guys. I know these were apostles, and he trained them, and he taught them. But guess what? The Lord will use you and train you and teach you too. You know, why are good hunters? Because they hunted a long time, right? And they've missed the big buck, and they've got the big buck, and they practiced, and they did this, and they did all this right, right? Why are good fishermen? Probably because they fished a lot. I mean, if I wasn't a good fisherman after some of these people fish so much, I'd wonder what's wrong with me. Or if I wasn't a good hunter, I hunt some, but I'm not a good hunter. I'm not a good fisherman. I don't do it enough. But if you do it enough, you get gooder at it. You get better at it. And guess what? The more you witness for the Lord, the better you'll get at it. And the Lord will even equip you more and enable you more and more. And you don't know, you know, you might lead the next Billy Graham to the Lord. Amen. Old Braylon, who knows what in the world she'll do for the Lord, right? I mean, you don't know how God might use her. She may be a missionary someday on a foreign field. The highest calling, to follow Jesus and to fish for men. He called these apostles to do that. He calls us to do that. And he says, point number three, I just mentioned it. Jesus enabled these apostles to fish for men, and he will enable us. In Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28. This is the Great Commission, but I want to point something out at you, then we'll move on quickly. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is to his apostles before he left this world, right? The Great Commission. And he's talking, it's a commission to us. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Why would he say that? You don't got to worry, because I have all power. And I'm telling you to do this. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if I can summarize that, go out and be a fisherman for Jesus. Fish for souls, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And notice this, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus enables us to be fishers of men. You know, I remember teaching the boys, or trying to teach the boys, you got to know something before you can teach it. And I'm not much of a fisherman. I kill worms. That's all I do, drown worms. I mean, by chance, every once in a while, I've caught a fish. Per chance. I think the fish wanted to commit suicide or something. And they jumped on my hook, I guess. But I remember trying to teach the boys, in particular, how to fish a little bit. I want to expose them to that. And we had fun. But you know what? I didn't get a whole lot done because I'm so busy trying to put the worm on the hook and say, this is how you do it. And then they'd get their hook stuck in a tree, and I'm trying to get it loose and trying to get it going. And then I get one of them set for a minute, and they get the bobber in there. And then the other one does something and loses his worm or gets it stuck. And I remember it's like, man, going back and forth. But I was what? I was helping. I was enabling them to fish. Can I say God does the work when we fish for men? God does the work. All we do is listen to him, obey. See, that's our biggest problem. We just do not listen to God. Number three, Jesus enabled these apostles to fish for men. He enables you. Number four, the apostles did what Jesus called them to do, and you can too. Notice what happened. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and what? Followed him. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word, guess what? They fished for men. James and John down in verse 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and what? Followed him. You can get serious about reaching the lost too. You don't see this very often, but I remember we were in a mega church in Chattanooga. We've been in all kinds of different size churches. I was not on staff, but we attended. It was with Tennessee Temple University and the seminary and all that. They had K-5 probably all the way through getting your doctoral level. It was an auditorium that seated like 6,000, I believe. And at the time, I would say that perhaps 4,000 was going there, maybe. Huge, huge church. But I remember one guy, it seemed like every Sunday he was coming to church having somebody with him. And guess what he did for that somebody? He had shared the gospel and led them to Jesus. He was fishing for souls. He was fishing for men. We don't see that much. And I'm not just, you know, you. Me. We need to be out there fishing for souls. They're out there. I mean, they're not flocking to church. I mean, put up a revival poster. If anything, they'll tear it down. They won't come to church for revival. Those days are gone. We got to go out and reach them. We got to fish for souls. And these guys, these apostles, they followed him. Guess what? You can get serious about reaching souls too. And I'm telling you, someday, I believe, at least for an instant, we'll be able to mourn the opportunities that we have not taken that God has given us to fish for the souls of men. The highest calling to follow Jesus. Tonight, Jesus enabled these apostles to fish for men. He enables you. Number four, the apostles did what Jesus called them to do. You can too. Number five out of six, so we're getting close. Number five, the apostles forsook all to do what Jesus called them to do, and you can too. The apostles forsook all to do what Jesus called them to do. You can too. In verse 20, it says, and they straightway, you know what that means? Immediately. Left their nets and followed him. You say, big whoopee deal. They put down their fishing pole. They put down their net and followed. No, you don't get it if that's all you see. This was their livelihood. You know, part of the reason that people, now I'm going to kind of jump to vocational ministry, but then I'm also going to pull it back for those that are not called into vocational ministry. But do you realize that one of the biggest excuses that people have in their mind for not following Jesus to be a vocational preacher, I mean to be a full-time pastor or to be a full-time missionary, you know the reason that a lot of people in their mind, they justify it, that I can't do that? I can't afford it. They might say, I got a good job. I can't give up my good job to go do that. Come on. I can't do that. You crazy, Lord? I can't. Yes, you can, if God calls you to do it. These guys, they weren't just dropping their fishing pole or their nets. They were saying, we're giving up our livelihood to follow Jesus. You say, well, God doesn't work that way today. Wrong answer. He does. We don't have apostles today. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you again. I believe our churches, I wouldn't say are full, because hardly any churches are full. But our churches have a number of people that have been called to be preachers, and they said no because they said, I can't afford it. I can't do it. It's too much of a challenge. We have churches with people that were called to be missionaries, and they said no because I can't afford it. Besides, I don't like spiders and snakes, and God might call me to a place with spiders and snakes. But can I tell you, if God calls you to go to a place with spiders and snakes, He'll look after you anyway. If you die from a spider bite, so be it. You'll enter the courts in the glory of the Lord saying, I was obedient to what you called me to do. You see, these apostles, they forsook all to follow Jesus. We think it's a big deal when we do the least little thing for Jesus. Like, oh, well, I gave an extra $10 to the offering plate. Or, I just wanted you to know I'm just going to make an effort to try to make the church one more service a week. Guess what, preacher? I'm going to read my Bible one more verse or one more chapter. We think we've done God a favor. These apostles said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I'm telling you, that's got to be our desire to do whatever God wants us to do. I mean, really, I'm not exactly a spring chick, but if God wants me to be a missionary, I'm willing to go. Bahamas would be good. I'm joking. And Amy, unless she's changed, is the same way. I mean, really, we're willing to do whatever God wants us to do. And that, can I tell you, there's such a peace and a comfort and an encouragement with having that attitude. Because, I mean, if I serve some mean old cruel God, I'd say, man, that's dangerous because he's a mean old cruel God. Who knows what? I serve a loving Heavenly Father that loves me more than I can even imagine. So it's okay for me to say, I'm in your hands, God. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. So let me tell you, if God's telling you to forsake all and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Oh, well, Lord, I don't see all the details. You don't have to see the details. You're not God. You say, Lord, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You serve a God that understands it all. It says here that in verse 22, talking about James and John, and they immediately, there it is again, immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They left their family and left their business and said, Lord, we'll do it. You know, they weren't perfect people, right? But I really think, and then I'll reel it in a little bit, pardon the pun, but I'll reel it in a little bit for those who are not called into vocational service. But let me ask you this. Is it ever too late to do the right thing? Yeah, I think so. You know, you may be a little bit older, and you may have the opportunity to do some things for the Lord. Perhaps you're retired. I mean, I know we have a fair amount of people that are retired. Maybe you have the resources to go on short-term mission trips or to be a missionary. I mean, I really don't think you're too old to be a missionary. Some of y'all think you can be too old to be a missionary, but I really don't think you can be too old or it can be too late to do the right thing. So, I mean, just don't discard. I'm old, you know. Well, there's lots of things you can do. I really think it'd be exciting if you have the resources and the opportunity and the health. Man, there's some pretty cool mission trips you can go on. And you know what that do to your heart? You know what that do to your soul? Do you know what that would fire up inside of you? And if you were able to do it and come back to Oak Mound, you might fire the rest of us up and say, guess what? There's a lost world out there, and there's more than just the United States of America. There's all kind of places that people need to go. And if God is calling you into ministry, let me tell you something. There's no better place to be than where God wants you to be. I'll freely tell you, ministry is not easy. Being a pastor is not easy. If I had my druthers, I would not probably be in ministry. Because it's tough, and there's ups and there's downs, and I've been brutally hurt before in ministry. I can tell you about that sometime if you want me to. I mean, more than once. But guess what? I want to be where God wants me to be because He's God. So, the apostles forsook all to do what Jesus called them to do. And let's reel it in just a little bit, okay? And it's no lesser of a calling. God might say, I want you to stay exactly right where you are. But still, number one ought to be me, the Lord might be saying. Number one ought to be me. And all that stuff and all that time you put into all those temporary things, guess what? They will mount to a hill of beans. So He may be saying to you, you know what? Your priorities are a little mixed up here. Why are you spending 80% of your time on stuff that's going to burn up? Or things that aren't going to last past the grave? I mean, what would I say? That's convicting to all of us, don't you think? Just a little bit. The apostles forsook all and just to do what God had called them to do. You know, God may put on your heart and say, you know what? I want you to start this ministry. You know, there's some ministries that I have in my brain that I'd like, that I believe God put there, and I'd like to see them get going. But guess what? We need some people to kind of step up and say, I'll do it. I mean, if I could do it, I'd do it. But there's only so much, I mean, with the mental capacity I have, it's only so much I can do. And God might be saying, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. You know, that's very akin to what the apostles said. Okay, Lord, you want me to do it? Guess what? Here I am. You know, y'all familiar with the expression, him haul around? I Googled it. I thought, well, who knows? This could just be my family again. Because you remember that revelation from Amy. It's like, you know, well, it's a Southern West Virginia thing. Finally, Amy said, no, it's not a Southern West Virginia thing. It's your family thing. So I looked it up. It's in there. And it's they said him and Hall and no around. But well, I learned it him, Hall, around. That's what I say. There's no and in there. And then you add the word around. A lot of Christians are him-hawing around so much, you're going to be in a box before you know it. And you're him-hawing around thinking, ah, someday I'm going to get to serving Jesus. Someday I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Someday I'm going to... Folks, quit him-hawing around. Just do what God calls you to do. Do it now. Do it immediately. I'll bet you on a typical Sunday, I'll bet you a big chunk of the people that hear the message leave the church after saying no to the Lord because they said, you know what? Maybe later. Maybe later. You know, I can be a pretty good procrastinator. It's funny. In college, we had almost the identical GPA in school, in college. She's missed, let's get it done early. I'm like, well, wonder how late we can wait to get this here thing done. In school, I was that way, but about the same GPA. But you know what? It's one thing in school to do it that way. Patrick, are you get it done now, or are you kind of like, how late can I wait to get this thing done?
Get your pancakes every day.
What's that mean exactly?
When you go to school, you get 10 pancakes every day. You better eat
10
pancakes today, because tomorrow
they
won't give you
10. Food analogy. I kind of like that. Okay, where was I going? I got my brain on pancakes now. In the Christian life, it's one thing to put stuff off in school, but it's quite another to put it off in your Christian life. I mean, I think God has some amazing plans for us many times, but we just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'm busy now. A lot going on. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. If God is calling, now's the time. Now's the time to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Last point, the highest calling, to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Tonight we've looked at Jesus enabled these apostles to fish for men, and he enables you. Then number four, point number four overall, the apostles did what Jesus called them to do, and you can too. Number five, the apostles forsook all to do what Jesus called them to do. And number six, it's kind of one of those, I want you to think about. When the apostles breathed their last, now we're talking about specifically Peter and Andrew and James and John, when they breathed their last. Remember, James was killed pretty early. Remember Herod killed James? Pretty early. And then James, it might confuse you a little bit, but the James that was the pastor at Jerusalem was the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus. But this James was killed pretty early on, because he saw that it pleased the Jews. Remember, he took Peter and put him in prison, and the Lord released him from prison. But, you know, Herod, he just wanted all about himself. But he died pretty early. But when he breathed his last after following Jesus, and the other three apostles that are mentioned here breathed their last after following Jesus, do you think they had any regrets? Now, I think every Christian says, you know, I could have done this a little better. I'm not talking about that. But as far as direction of their life, do you think that they were on their deathbed or right before they were executed for the cause of Christ, maybe their head cut off or them hanged upside down on a cross or however they lost their life for the cause of Christ? I mean, even at that terrible moment, do you know what? I don't think I should have followed Jesus. I don't think that thought ever crossed their brain. I think they were like, you know what? I'd do it all over again. I think it's important that we do what God wants us to do right now so that when we're ready to breathe our last, we're not saying, coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know. I know God called me to do this, and I know he wanted me to start this ministry, and I know he wanted me to teach that Sunday school class, and I knew that he wanted me to work with kids, and I knew he wanted me to help with the van ministry, and I knew he wanted me to help with the sound and the video stuff up there, and I knew he wanted me, but guess what? It's too late, Dad. So So what I believe that when the apostles breathed their last in this world, they did not regret their decision to give it all up immediately and say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do." Remember the parable of the man giving 5 talents to one and 2 talents to one and 1 talent to one? Remember, and this is we use this quite a bit, but do you remember what happened to the one with 5 talents? He gained 5 more talents, and the one with 2 talents gained 2 more talents, and the one with 1 talent went and buried it. And remember the one with 5 that gained 5 and the 2 that gained 2? Remember what this man in the parable, which we liken to Jesus or to the Lord's judgment? You know what he said? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I never presume that I'm going to hear this, but I believe probably every Christian would like to hear, "Well done." But can I say that we're not going to hear "well done" if we don't say, "Yes, sir. I'll do what you want me to do. I will follow what you want me to do." And someday we're going to stand before the Lord. Someday we're going to stand before the Lord. Tonight, we've talked about the highest calling, to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Remember that. If someone says, "What do you think the highest calling of man is?" Well, remember Matthew chapter 4, and remember the 2 F words, to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Follow Jesus and to fish for men. My question is pretty similar to what it was this morning as Amy comes to the piano. My question is, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? I hope that you're snuggled up so close to him and you're following him so close that when he stops, you bump right into him. I hope it's just a really close thing. If not, guess who needs to move? We do, right? So we're going to sing here in just a moment. Good Lord willing. I'd encourage you. You don't have to talk to me, but just talk to God. If you feel that you could follow Jesus a little closer, come and talk to God about it. You might say, "God, I'm sorry for not following you closer, but help me to follow you closer, starting right now." That'd be good. And this idea of fishing for men, I'm serious. There's people all the time that's dying and going to hell. And part of the reason they're dying and going to hell, part of the reason, not always, not 100% of the time, but part of the reason is we as Christians are not fishing for men. For any number of reasons. Can I tell you any reason you're given for not fishing for men, not sharing the gospel with the people around you, is a flimsy excuse. This is the God of the universe.
And I told God, I said, "I mean, he didn't
bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. In this topic of following Jesus and fishing for men, the highest calling of man, let me ask you, when you hear those words, follow Jesus and fish for men, what pops into your mind? What do you think the Holy Spirit is telling you? Is he saying to you, you need to follow me closer? Perhaps, I don't know your heart, perhaps he's saying you need to follow me in salvation. If you've never been saved or not sure you're saved, tonight's the night. Trust the Lord. Settle that. Nail that down. But when I say fishers of men, does God bring before your mind somebody, place someone on your heart right now? Can you picture them? Do you think that might be coming from God? And God's saying, guess what? This is who I want you to fish for. Now, we have plenty of folks out there. We can't encounter them every day, from food line to the bank to the gas station to who knows. And we should be fishers of men for them too. But is God putting someone on your heart right now that you need to talk to him about Jesus? What you going to do with that? You just going to kind of let that set there and move on? Or are you going to do what God has placed on your heart? If God has placed someone in your heart right now, would you take just a moment and say, God, help me to fish for that soul in Jesus' name? Would you ask the Lord that? Remember, he does the enabling. He'll help you if you'll just be available to do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story in the Bible. Lord, I know it's been preached and taught a gazillion times. Probably anyone that's been a Christian for any length of time have heard messages very similar to this. But Lord, help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to follow Jesus as close as possible, Lord. And may we fish for the souls of men. Lord, give us opportunity. Give us the boldness. Give us the words to share the gospel with the people that you placed on our heart, in our hearts and minds, we pray in Jesus' name.